Oh, hi, everybody. My name is Matt Storrs, and welcome to Mattsplaining. On today's episode, I have an expert on who's going to talk about an area which I feel pretty strongly about. Expert, please introduce yourself and tell us what you're an expert in.
Hi, I'm Sammy James, a comedian, actor, storyteller, writer, and expert is really, really taking some liberties. But I'm going to be talking about werewolves. I am a huge horror movie fan, and werewolves are one, like, they're, if I had to name, like, a favorite genre within horror, werewolves would be up there. I know a lot about the werewolf genre, the werewolf myths. Expert, I don't know, but yeah, that's what I'm here for.
Fantastic. And I think that you can get a master's or what have you, some sort of degrees in folklore and stuff like that, and you could probably have a focus in werewolves. But I think that outside of going into that, I think that consumption of the media would be sufficient. And my background with werewolves, one of my favorite monsters as well, and what probably got me most into werewolves is actually that I have a nickel allergy. And so I was wearing a lot of watches and everything like that, that purported to be silver. And then I would start breaking out in these little hives and rashes. And I'm like, oh my God, am I a werewolf? I'm allergic to the silver because I was going out during the day. This is me as a teenager. I was growing hair in places that I had not grown hair before. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm going through puberty. I'm a werewolf. And then going to the doctor, dermatologist, and them being like, no, you can't be exposed to heavy metals.
Please tell me that you asked if you were a werewolf.
Oh, absolutely. I'm like, well,
okay, great. No, that's, I assumed, but I'm like,
yeah. So that was the crux of it. I'm like, hey, doctor, I have some bad news. Can you help me with this? I have been wearing these watches and I feel like I might have a chronic condition. They're like, oh, what's the chronic condition? I'm like, lycropathy. And they're like, nope, that's not a thing. You just can't be exposed to heavy metals.
Was Teen Wolf helpful to you during this time?
Well, I didn't see Teen Wolf until later. They actually prescribed that as a research tool so that I could better understand. And also, I didn't get better at basketball, so I don't think that would have been a crux of it either. And in ancient times, I think that werewolves were, like many of the myths and many of the monsters, based on this idea of fear of the unknown. But I think that a lot of it was people that were experimenting, wearing fur skins, and a lot of like racism towards like Vikings who had a tendency to put on the skins of wolves and everything to keep warm. And then somebody's like, hey, we don't have to cut off the head of this wolf. Let's make it into a fancy hat. And then you see somebody from afar in that kind of outfit and you're like, oh, that's a human wolf right there. And word gets around and translation issues and what have you. But I think in today's society, I think that werewolves in the media and in popular culture, I think that it's a nice mix of like body horror, the ideas of having something inside of you that can't be completely controlled and contained, but also it kind of gets into like light BDSM play as well. Because you have the people that are like, oh, I don't want to transform. Spike and Buffy, for instance, or not Spike. What is his name? Seth Green, his character. he's got spiky hair, but him being like, oh, I got to lock myself up. I can't get out. And it's like, hey, chains, good for you. There's cages and stuff like that. If that works for you, that works for you. If it's because you're turning into a monster that's going to devour the village, great. If it's just because that's what you like to do on a Saturday night with your consenting partner, also good. That is something that should be respected. And I think that there's just kind of a lack of understanding of the werewolf lifestyle. There's a lot of development in like the vampire lifestyle and like respects like vampire raves, blood raves, what have you. And most of the werewolf stuff is more oriented towards like sporting events and stuff like that. Like a lot of the very popular sports teams, especially like the Huskies, for instance, at the UConn, university there. They have a big subset of these Husky fans who are actually, they identify as werewolves, and there's the werewolf section at a lot of major sporting events and a lot of major sports.
Okay, this is new. This is news to me. I need to know. Please deep dive on this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, you can't, it's hard to have something akin to a blood rave. It's really hard to get the licenses and the signage and everything like that, the releases. And so what they do is like, well, where's another place where we could go and just let loose and people will respect that? And they're like, sporting games. We can take our shirts off. We can paint ourselves. We can just give in to this werewolf instinct that we have. And people will be like, oh, that's just a guy that's in a werewolf costume, not realizing, oh no, that's actually somebody that is a werewolf that has transformed at this sporting event. And they just blend into the crowd. That's just a very welcoming experience for a lot of them, is my understanding.
Amazing.
Yeah. Based on what you've heard so far, about how much of that would you say was accurate?
Listen. I'm gonna give you a B minus.
Okay. Fantastic.
Okay. Listen. I have no way of knowing the UConn stuff.
Okay.
I am going to trust. Okay. That is, but like a lot of the other stuff, like, sure. Good. It's like accurate enough, I think.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I mean, I don't, the stuff about UConn and other sports franchises, I will admit some of that is based on just something that I heard one time. But I mean, it seemed reasonable that that would be a place for them to be. But I did want to fact check myself on one thing. Seth Green's character is named Oz on Buffy. And I felt really bad about that. So I needed to look that up. But what first got you into werewolves?
Like, werewolves are my favorite monster. And like, I don't know, probably being trans. I don't even mean that as a joke. Like, it's a real thing that, like, so many of us, when we're, like, taught, it's just, like, so were you obsessed with mer people or werewolves? It's just something about, like, being able to transform your body. I don't know. I didn't know how, but I was just, like, I wish I could change my body. Mm-hmm. Werewolves can do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that the, looking at it as, like, an allegory for, I think that a lot of these traditional monster narratives are like the most positive ones, at least in my experience, is the when people kind of like come to terms with that animalistic side, they become heroes because they're like, oh yeah, this is who I am. Yep. This is part of who I am. And I think that that would be even in the ones that are insanely violent, American Werewolf in Paris or what have you, there is an aspect of like of a benefit there. Would you say that there's folks that are kind of identify with merpeople, werewolves? Is there like a third one that kind of rounds it out? So like an air monster or like a fire monster?
There's some like fairy folk. It was also kind of this idea of just like not having control over your body or your autonomy that a lot of marginalized people, not even just queer and trans people, that I think like experience, or it's just like, yeah, that's a metaphor I can get behind.
Absolutely. Speaking as somebody that has, or especially had it when I was younger, body dysmorphia issues, werewolves were like, oh hey, yeah, I get it. I can definitely that. And that's the thing, like, it's always, out of any monster in my opinion, the werewolves are always kind of the most tragic, because that kind of lack of control and that autonomy kind of being stripped away. So I think that it's really always a compassionate story, you know what I mean, when there's a werewolf involved, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that there's also there's a level of empowerment to some of them as well. There's a level of taking control in some narratives as well that I kind of related to, or just the being allowed to lose control.
Right. Absolutely. Are there werewolf stories that you are, when you think like, oh, this is my favorite one, or like, this is the one that I, when I think of this, this is the one that comes to mind?
Yeah, well, I mean, Ginger Snaps, and like, if we're going to talk about it as like a metaphor for like bodily autonomy and puberty and gender and queerness, like Ginger Snaps is up there.
Okay. I don't know that I've seen that one.
Yeah, okay. So it is two sisters. They're kind of obsessed with morbid things. One of them gets attacked by a werewolf and is turning into a werewolf. And it's kind of the two of them grappling with this as she is slowly kind of losing control and falling into this.
Oh, wow. That sounds great. I'll have to check that out. When did you first start watching werewolf stuff or start consuming it? Can you like pinpoint a time in your life when you like first started identifying
with it? I can't think of the age, but I know werewolves were what kind of gave me the horror bug to begin with. I think that like a lot of, I kind of avoided horror movies. It was too scary. And then it was something, it was some old werewolf movie. It wasn't The Wolfman. But it was some like old werewolf movie that I watched, and it was just the concept of werewolves. I was like, I'm into that.
Right.
And then it was just like any werewolf story I could get my hands on, I was devouring. So like werewolves were definitely, they were kind of my gateway to horror.
Yeah, I mean, I can see werewolves being the gateway drug into all kinds of monster movies and horror movies. Since they start in that compassionate place, it's an easy jumping off point. Because like, oh, it's not a true bad guy. You know, they don't want to be doing it. It's this animalistic
side. Just look at the werewolf in Monster Squad, okay?
Right, right.
So, you need to stop. You need to lock me up. They're like, yeah, yeah.
It'll be fine, yeah. It's like, we don't have to worry about it. And yeah, I always like the idea of somebody not realizing somebody's a werewolf and being somebody coming in and being so insistent on like, you got to lock me up. And then being like, okay, what are you exactly into? Because like the trying to set boundaries with somebody that hasn't been explicit that they're a werewolf yet. Have you found, because I don't feel like there's a lot of werewolf media out so much. Have you kind of found yourself kind of drifting into different aspects of horror now?
I mean, I love horror as a whole. Like, I will give, with a few exceptions, I will give any horror movie a chance.
Okay.
It is like, it is my favorite genre. It is, I don't know, watching horror movies is like a healing, like spiritual experience for me. It's so weird. Edit that out.
No, that's staying in. Yeah, it's in today's society, horror movies are the only true religion. That's what I'm taking out of this.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is a degree of catharsis that comes with like whether or not your favorite character survives or anything like that.
And
but like that
I'm
fear.
Not, I will say I definitely prefer the supernatural realm. I prefer werewolves and ghosts and aliens. I'm not a big fan of like a human grounded in reality serial killer.
Right.
Like I like a slasher, but like what, like a real just graphic serial killer, I'm just like, no thank you.
Right.
That's real.
Right.
not to say that like any of these other things aren't, because like I do believe in ghosts. It's I'm not saying one way or the other on werewolves, except that they're my favorite. But like, listen, there are no ghosts in prison right now.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I'm like, well, Alcatraz is closed. That's just tours now. Like, there might be ghosts there, but they're not.
Fair. No, yeah. Exactly.
But nonetheless, like, there's not a, like a real world component of like, we captured those ghosts and put them into prison. If people wanted to learn more about you or want to learn more about werewolves or horror in general, where would you recommend that they look?
Well, you can follow me on Sammy Sam James on Instagram. There's a great Instagram, and I don't know if they still have a Twitter, because who I don't know who still has Twitter, but there's a great Instagram you can follow, Diversity in Horror, which has a lot of great stuff about horror movies and books. And then listen, like movies you can check out, like the Wolfman's great. The Wolfman is where most of the movie rules of werewolves are from. That movie, they're not from the original like lore of werewolves. The silver, the full moon, the even being bitten, it to some extent is a lot from that movie.
Okay.
And has really permeated the genre. So Ginger Snaps is great. I believe it's called Good Manners, is a wonderful Brazilian. I think it's Brazilian. I could be way off. It's all I remember is it's fantastic. It's about a woman, without giving too much away, it's about a woman raising a werewolf.
Okay.
And then there's some of the original, like, old, like, folklore of werewolves are fantastic. I wish I could remember any of the stories or had, like, books to give you. Mm-hmm. There is a French book about, it was essentially about a serial killer. It's nonfiction, I believe. It was a narrative of a serial killer who his defense was, I'm a werewolf.
Okay. Wow.
I can't remember what it's called, but that was like I'm going to say like 1500s case.
Oh, wow.
And then there's a lot of the older folklore that I know of were actually along the lines of like cursed items, where it was this, like, put on a belt, turn into a wolf.
Right. Yeah. You have that kind of D&D, like, oh, you have a special item, it turns you into a wolf sort of thing. Or you put this ring on, it turns you into a wolf.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Sammy, thank you so much for joining me today. I really enjoyed talking to you. This was wonderful.
Yeah, it's a good time.
My name is Matt Storrs, and this has been Matt Splaining.